You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Pour yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Ross Tucker break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it's Daddy Soda time here on the College Draft Podcast, presented, of course, as always, by DraftKings Sportsbook. Huge fan of DraftKings Sportsbook, and those of you that use the code Ross to get a little something, no matter what you're placing a wager on. Maybe it's baseball, or maybe it's the NBA or NHL playoffs. We talk football here on this show. In particular, we talk about the NFL draft, and we talk about college football. We talk about making bets in college football. We talk about college football prospects. And by we, I primarily mean he, Emory Hunt, the czar of the playbook, at F-Ball Game Plan on Twitter, Football Game Plan on YouTube. And no, it is absolutely not too late to get the draft guide, footballgameplan.com/2024draft guide. A bunch of teams have their rookie minicamps this upcoming weekend. You can get a scouting report, not only on all the draft picks and the undrafted free agents. Emory's probably got most, if not all, of the tryout guys in there. footballgameplan.com/2024draft guide. You can check me out on social media. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL, pretty much every platform, right? Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, whatever, TikTok. We are at Ross Tucker Pod, and I'm a big fan, really big fan of those of you that engage with us on social media in any way, or just rate and review the show. That's huge and a great way to be one of the winners on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. These next few weeks, Emory, one of my favorite things we do, because we actually go through and talk about the draft picks for these teams. You know, so much time is spent on the first round, so much time in the pre-draft process. How about talking about the guys these teams actually got? It ends up becoming more or less a preview for the season as we talk about some of the guys they've added. We'll start, Emory, with the NFC East. We'll start with the Dallas Cowboys. And it's interesting because I don't know that I loved, you know, feeling like they had to draft an offensive tackle in the first round. But that being the case, you know, kudos to them for trading down and still getting the guy they wanted anyway in Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma. The other guys they took, Marshawn Neyland, edge guy from Western Michigan. I did a couple of his games in college. Cooper Beebe, the guard from Kansas State. So they got a couple of O linemen in the first couple of days. Then Maris Lufau, the linebacker from Notre Dame. Kalen Carson, Wake Forest, Ryan Flourney, wide receiver from Southeast Missouri State, Nathan Thomas, the offensive tackle, Louisiana Lafayette, never heard of that school, and then Justin Rogers, the D tackle from Auburn. Your thoughts first, Emory, on the first few guys, Tyler Guyton, Marshawn Neyland, and Cooper Beebe.
Well, I'll start with the offensive linemen, because if you look at them as a trio, I thought they knocked it out the park. Selfishly, they got two of my top 10 offensive tackles in Tyler Guyton, who was number 7, and also Nathan Thomas, who was number 10. They got my number 2 guard, and I had an 83 grade on BB. Big fan of his game. So I thought they really bolstered the offensive line. Louisiana had 5 dudes in that room that are drafted. If you want to also count Osiris Torrance, who was of Raging Cajun before he transferred to Florida. So shout out to my Cajuns producing top quality NFL offensive linemen. But I thought they did a great job in just getting younger, getting more talented, and getting like stronger up front. Neyland was someone who I thought he obviously was coming off of a really good Senior Bowl. He was my number 5'4"-3 defensive end. First line of the scout report says plays a good point of attack game. So you know he's solid versus the run. Has shown he's able to really turn it on and get to the quarterback. And this is someone that had 12 and a half sacks, 28 TFLs. So I thought they did a solid job embracing point of attack play. Lufau was a fantastic pick, too. I was a big fan of his game. I remember watching that Stanford game, and I was like, wow, this dude is all over the place. He was my number six Sam backer with a 76 grade. So I thought the Cowboys, I know everybody was, why didn't they take a running back? Well, we saw why. They signed Ezekiel Elliott, but they did a great job addressing the point of attack. It's all about staying physical and being physical up front.
You know, it's funny because getting Tyler Guyton allows them to probably keep Tyler Smith at left guard. You know, Cooper Beebe has, although maybe they will still move Tyler Smith out and put Cooper Beebe at left guard. It gives them options, I feel like, along the offensive line. It's so funny. You see certain players like Marshawn Neyland. When I watched him, Emery, I just thought Raven. Like, I just thought that guy is a Baltimore Raven. No, he's not. He's a Dallas Cowboy. But that's the type of player that he is. That's interesting what you said about Lufau. The day three picks, you already talked about Nathan Thomas. Kalen Carson, a corner from Wake. Ryan Flourney, a wide receiver, Southeast Missouri State. And then Justin Rogers, that D tackle from Auburn.
Kalen Carson was my number 8 field corner with a 77 grade. So big fan of him. Explosive. I'm reading the first line of the scout report. Always tells you what's jumped out at me first, you know, when I'm watching prospect. Explosive acceleration and close on the football. So he can go from a dead stop to downhill within a blink of an eye. So you talk about someone that can play off and drive on the ball. Who does that sound like? Sounds like every damn corner they have out there in Dallas, right? That just does a great job of turning the ball over. So I just thought the Cowboys did a fantastic job. And Flournoy is someone, obviously had a nice career at Southeast Missouri State. They were really good the last two seasons. They went deep into the playoffs 2 years ago. They brought a lot of guys back. He had a really good Senior Bowl, good athleticism, can fill in as that fourth receiver for the Cowboys. So, yeah, they really, I thought, did a strong job, even with Justin Rogers. So, for me, this was an A draft, I felt like, because it got depth, it got talent, and they were able to grab some undrafted free agents that I thought really high of.
Give me a couple, Emery. Give me one or two that you really liked.
My number one inline tight end, Brevin Spanford of Minnesota. You know, someone that's very solid as an inline blocker, underrated as a route runner, and I feel like he has a really good chance to succeed. Imani Johnson, the corner from Nevada, long, athletic guy, kind of like what they have already in the back on the back end, very physical. So getting those two guys, to me, I was like, okay, I see what Dallas is doing. They're able to not only focus on these undrafted guys with the same level of precision as they do in the draft. So again, that's why I gave them an A. I thought they did a fantastic job all the way through the draft.
Be very curious to see what ends up shaking out at the running back position, whether they bring somebody else in or off a practice squad or, you know, see who gets cut. Right now, I guess it would seem to be Zeke Elliott, Rico Dowdell, and Deuce Vaughn would be their three guys getting the reps right now. How do you feel about that trio?
You know, I'm a big Deuce Vaughn guy. So all they needed last year was a pace setter. And they got that by bringing Ezekiel Elliott back. As we saw in New England, he still can set the table for a run game. And now you have all those guys that can fall in line in their proper roles. So the run game will look a lot better, especially when you combine that with what they were able to do up front. I think it's a solid thing. I know everybody was pushing Jonathan Brooks, but, you know, let's be honest. He was coming off of an ACL injury, so you can't really take that risk. And you don't know how a guy can, you know, will bounce back from an ACL injury. Everyone is different. But they did a good job of, you know, making sure they got Zeke back in the fold. Popular guy, locker room guy, glue guy. And that helps everyone else out in that running back room fall in line properly.
Let's move on to the next team, a team that you spend a lot of time around, Emery. And that is the New York Giants. As we continue in the NFC East, they took Malik Nabers with the 6th overall pick. Then the second round, they came back, and Malik Nabers, the LSU wide receiver, by the way. Second round, they came back and took Tyler Newbin, the safety from Minnesota, a lot of people liked. Third round, Andrew Phillips, cornerback from Kentucky, a lot of people liked. Round four, Theo Johnson, tight end from Penn State, who's very talented. Fifth round, Tyrone Tracy, a Purdue running back that was a favorite of Greg Cosell's. And then the sixth round, Darius Muasau, the linebacker from UCLA. So it's a rare draft, Emery, I would say, where I know every single guy they picked. I'm familiar with every guy they picked. Your thoughts on what the G-men did?
Well, they added some talent on offense, explosive talent, because Theo Johnson is someone that, you know, people probably don't know enough of, but he's a fantastic route runner, showed that down at the Senior Bowl. So you don't know what you're going to get from Darren Waller. Is he coming back? Is he retiring? Is it official or whatnot? But you got someone that can be a Darren Waller type in terms of how he runs routes. We all know Neighbors was, you know, I was a big fan of Neighbors coming out as a prospect, and they landed him. They had no choice but to grab him because he was the best player on the board, in my opinion. I know people were questioning whether they go quarterback, but I felt like quarterback could have been a reach for them, especially what they've already invested in Daniel Jones. Not saying that that's the reason why you start him, but, I mean, you already know he's not the answer. So you stockpile the roster. So when you do get your guy, and I already think that Locke will end up winning that job, you do get your guy, you have someone that can go deep down the field and be considered a threat, because now it opens up the field for everyone else, like your Wandell Robinsons or your Jalen Hyatts or your Theo Johnsons. So I thought those two picks were really good for the Giants. And the Newbin pick, very good ball skills. That's always a key. We know they lost Xavier McKinney, so grabbing him, he was my number six strong safety. But it's cool because he's a strong safety by nature, but has great ball skills. And that's something that's rare, 24 PBUs, 13 intercepts. That's the type of playmaking capabilities you want on the back end.
So interesting, all the news coming out of New York. Obviously, they made an effort to get up to number three, presumably to draft Drake May. You know, there are a bunch of reports out there that people think that Drew Locke will win the starting job. That is very, very interesting. Almost as interesting as the fact that some of you still don't drink Labatt Blue Light. I don't understand why. It is delicious. The only way you don't drink it is if you never tried it. Let's rectify that. Drink some Labatt Blue Lights with friends. Live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Let's also, by the way, make sure we get the best gift for mom ever. It's called myfrontpagestory.com. And I said this on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. I will send you a signed autograph if you get somebody, a mother in your life, a story from myfrontpagestory.com. Guarantee to send it to you. I forget what you thought of Andrew Phillips, the corner from Kentucky, Emery.
I had a 75 grade on him, so I feel like he kind of went where the grade suggests in round three. Solid corner. Will compete for a starting job because we know they needed someone outside of Deontay Banks. So I'm excited to get down to rookie minicamp and see how he stacks up versus a Cordell Flott versus what they already have in the depth chart, because he has a legit chance to start.
Tyrone Tracy at running back?
I interviewed him on the sideline at the Hula Bowl, and I was impressed with, even though I was impressed with him all week, because we know he was a receiver at Iowa, transferred to Purdue, played running back, and I thought he played running back as if he played a position his whole career. Because normally when you get those guys that have played receiver or playing receiver and they put them in the backfield, they look like receivers playing running back. He looks like a running back that just so happened to have played wide receiver, which is big for their offense. Because you look at some of the types that they have, guys that are good in terms of the passing game. Singletary, Gray, now you have Tracy. So they have a type in the backfield. They want to be explosive, but I feel like Tracy has a chance to really carve out a significant role there because he also can help them out as a kickoff returner.
What about Muasau, linebacker from UCLA?
He was my number three inside linebacker at a 79.5 grade, so I was a big fan of him. But LA Bowl defensive MVP was all over the field. I think he has a legit chance to start opposite of Okereke. So I know Michael McFadden is there. I know he had a really solid season, but I feel like Mosau is someone that can really get in there and play first line, smart inside backer who does a great job of sniffing out the run game and the screen game. So he's always Johnny on the spot in that regard. That's, to me, sounds like your quintessential inside backer. And he has the size to where he can fit today. He fits today's game. So he's 6 feet, about 225. So he has the flexibility and the movement skills to get sideline to sideline.
Undrafted guys, Emery.
Oh, how many times we talked about John Giles of West Florida, right? And so the Giants were able to get him. This is a guy, tremendous athlete and athleticism out of West Florida. Fantastic receiver. I'm interested to see how Asante plays out of Wyoming. He had a very good Tropical Bowl. Showed the quickness, getting in and out of his breaks. Smaller guy, but definitely spitfire quick. And those guys, to me, were the ones that really stood out as undrafted free agents.
We move on to the Philadelphia Eagles. And I know last week we talked about Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. So we can move on from those guys, their first two picks. After that, it was Jalix Hunt, Will Shipley, Anaya Smith, Jeremiah Trotter Jr., Trevor Keegan, Johnny Wilson, Dylan McMahon, a bunch of picks for the Birds. What did you think of Jalix Hunt, Emery?
I thought he had good athleticism. And again, you're looking for upside when you're taking guys in rounds 3, 4, 5, or 6, 7, right? Guys that have those traits that you can gamble on. And talking about a former safety turn outside edge rusher, so you know he has athleticism. He has ball skills. You just got to fine-tune the nuance of his game, and he's going to get that in Philly, especially, you know, coming in as a situational rusher. I think this was a good spot for him to land, so you're not expecting him to be the guy right away. He can, you know, slowly get up to speed on the NFL game and work on this game and become a significant hired weapon as a pass rusher. So I love the pick.
Tell me about Will Shipley and Anaya Smith.
These two picks, they happened back to back, or I believe there were a pick in between.
Yeah, they were back to back for the Eagles at least.
Okay, back to back for the Eagles. Which when I was down at CBS when I had to report on these two picks, I'm like, yo, this makes a ton of sense. And the reason why I didn't even think about offense because they're stacked offensively. I instantly went to special teams. Man, what if the Eagles put two guys back deep on kickoff returns now? They have legitimate options because Shipley can return kicks. We know Anaya Smith can return kicks. And now you give yourself an added bonus, another threat offensively. Even if you want to put two guys back deep, I know it's old school, but you put two guys back deep on punt return. Like, the Eagles now have two guys that can legitimately make things happen with the ball in their hands. Now, if you look at offense, it's the same thing. Both guys can do more with less. So they don't need a volume of catches or touches. But when they do have the football, they can do things to create chunk plays. I thought these two players were core special team selections, and I think they're going to make their impact there right away.
Let's talk about their two more fifth-round picks. Jeremiah Trotter Jr., the linebacker from Clemson, and Trevor Keegan, the guard from Michigan.
Trotter was my number one inside linebacker, right? So I thought, I don't know why a lot of people weren't as high on him, because I felt like he was the guy that did everything from a, you know, seeing it, getting their perspective. He's good on both ends of defense. He can blitz. He can play the run downhill. He can drop back in zone. He can turn the ball over. So he's checking all these inside backer boxes that you like to see. I thought he was the best one out the crop this year. So I had an 80 grade on him. He's my number one inside linebacker. So selfishly, I love the pick. And Keegan had a 75 grade on, my number 12 guard. So that's a pretty good spot for a guy with that grade going in the fifth round. First line, really good anchor for the position. Defenders who try to bull rush him are met with a player who possesses a very good core strength and base. So you talk about run game, you talk about Michigan interior offensive lineman, you talk about the Eagles with Saquon Barkley, and you're talking about building depth within the interior. And something they also did with Dylan McMahon from North Carolina State in a sixth round, too.
Yeah, and he's a really good athlete. But I'm curious on your thoughts on Johnny Wilson, Emery. I feel like it was a couple years ago, maybe 3 years, he was making a lot of plays, and then he kind of got overshadowed by Keon Coleman.
Yeah, and you know, you want to see someone that's that large consistently play his size. And I feel like at times he doesn't play 6'7", 250, right? You want to see that consistently. And so he could be a threat as an inside receiver. I graded him as an inside receiver. So that tight split, that nasty split, as the football guys like to say, where you're kind of like 4x4 off the line of scrimmage, and can really do a good job over the middle of the field. But you want to see that physicality show up consistently for him within this game.
Undrafted guys for the Birds that you liked?
Gabe Hall, you know, outstanding Senior Bowl. You know, he looked like a mini Chris Jones with how well he was doing out there, both in 1-on-1s, but also in 9-on-7 and team period. So him going undrafted, I wonder if it was a medical thing, because his play was outstanding. I thought this was a value pick. I'll tell you where I had him graded right here. But, you know, you talk about going down to the Senior Bowl and making an impact. Every day we were talking about Gabe Hall. He was my number 11 defensive tackle with a 75.5 grade. So I felt strongly about him. And I was shocked to see Kendall Milton go undrafted, but he's another one that could be a core special teamer out of Georgia. And the two offensive linemen, Gottlieb Adeyezi, who played at Maryland, but he was a Frostburg State guy, and Anem Dankwa out of Howard, who also got drafted by the Toronto Argonauts because he's a Canadian citizen, dual citizenship. Two, you know, smaller school guys, but guys that can grow and develop. They probably are headed to the practice squad, but you like the frame, you like the upside, and you like the ability to kind of bring those guys along slowly.
Let's get to the Commanders. We've talked a lot about Jaden Daniels, obviously, but they had three picks in the second round. Jerzon Newton, the D-tackle from Illinois, Mike Sanristil, the corner from Michigan, and Ben Sinnott, the tight end from Kansas State. Your thoughts?
Well, let's start with Sinnott. Sinnott was my number two H-back. I had a 77.5 grade. Fantastic athlete. I also like that he can carry the ball, too, as a high school running back. So you get a classic H-back, you know, a guy that can carry the ball, catch the ball, does a good job in blocking. So this is a very good pick for Washington. Sanristil was someone that, you know, people thought had an outside chance of going in the first round. He was my number three slot receiver, 76 grade. Loved his instincts, loved the ball skills. Obviously, he was a former receiver, so you got to love the ball skills. And you like the fact that he could, you know, make plays that are there to be made. Doesn't really miss an opportunity to make plays. And you talk about Jerzon Newton. You know, everyone, another one people thought was going in round one. And as the board kept getting stacked, you were like, why is he still on the board? He was my number six D-tackle, 78 grade. So where he got picked, I thought this was tremendous value for Washington. Now you put him in that rotation with Deron Payne and Jonathan Allen, it looks a lot better. And I think he has a legitimate chance to really be a problem.
A lot of people thought he would be the second D-tackle off the board and would end up going in the first round. So you're right in terms of the Commanders getting a couple of first-round caliber players. Friday night in round three, they got Brandon Coleman, the guard from TCU, and Luke McCaffrey, the wide receiver from Rice.
Listen, Coleman was someone who was my number eight guard at 76th grade. Fantastic player. In my first line of his report, enormous wingspan and arm length that helps him play really well from a distance, but shows up almost immediately in the passing game. So what that's saying is when you try to rush him, he's hitting you with the hands first, and he's winning you and keeping you at bay. It's tough to get around him for a bigger guard. And McCaffrey, I was a big fan of. Like, that's someone that can play multiple positions, quarterback, running back, receiver. I think he's going to work well with a Jaden Daniels because they've both seen it from the same perspective.
Last three picks, Jordan McGee, the linebacker from Temple, who, by the way, his coach at one point got him a story at myfrontpagestory.com. I'm not kidding. We have a story at myfrontpagestory.com about Jordan McGee, and now he goes drafted in the fifth round. Dominique Hampton, a safety from Washington, goes to Washington. And then Javonte Jean-Baptiste, the edge from Notre Dame.
Jordan McGee was my number three weak side backer, or outside linebacker, but I have him as a weak side back with a 79 grade. So first line, really good athlete, very twist-up prospect who has a lot of good tools in his toolbox. So yes, 6'1", 228, guy that can really bring it off the edge, can really play off-ball backer rather well. We know they kind of whiffed on Jamin Davis in the first round a couple of years ago. McGee, I think, has a chance to usurp him as that weak side backer. I was a big fan of his game at Temple.
Undrafted guy that jumped out to you, Emery?
Washington did a great job, man. They had Marcus Jackson Rosemy was a fantastic receiver coming out of Georgia. solid receiver type. Reminds me a lot of Calvin Harmon, who they had a few years ago, but now plays for the DC Defenders. You look at the Colson Yankoff out of UCLA, underrated H-back. He was my number one fullback because he can carry the ball. He's a taller guy, like 6'3", 215, former wide receiver. Had a really good college gridiron showcase. So he was one of my sleepers in the draft from a Power 5 program. And Chigozie Enunziam out of Colorado State, fantastic corner. They got a good one there. And I thought that was a really good pickup. He has a legit shot of making a roster.
These episodes are so fun. I love it. The keg is kicked. We are all tapped out.
Thanks for tuning in to College Draft. Make sure to also check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and Fantasy Feast, all on the DraftKings Network, YouTube, or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform.